we've been going through this series that you've been with us this year to explore the brass tacks of what does it look like? What are the literal things you do with someone if you decide you're going to meet with them for discipleship? And so we've been going through this jumpstart training. We're doing a whole series. And today we're going to really focus in on some of the really practical things. We're going to talk about a framework for that, as well as the first big rock in that framework. But just by way of review, I want to talk about what we've covered so far quickly, and we'll pray and get into our stuff for today. We started by defining our terms. Discipleship has been watered down in the church, but what we're talking about here is a disciple is a person following Jesus into Christian maturity and multiplication. And disciple making is the process by which someone helps another person. Could be a peer relationship, could be a little bit more of a maturity gap in that relationship. It could be in a one-on-one setting or in a group setting. But you're talking about a life-on-life process in which one person helps another follow Jesus into Christian maturity and multiplication. And what we talked about last month, Jenna taught on goals in disciple making. And she talked about the difference between foundational discipleship, which is kind of the same for all believers. Everybody needs to know how to pray. Everybody needs to know how to read the Bible. And formational discipleship, which is different for every person, as we are all different people. That goals are based on maturity with the hopes of multiplication and will change as the life cycle of the discipleship changes. And they help us serve, and multiplication is a really effective way of growing God's kingdom. So today I'm going to cover for like maybe 5 minutes an introduction to the flexible framework we're going to cover for the rest of the series. And then Shauna is going to come up and talk about the most important part of that, which is prayer. So let me actually just begin us with a word of prayer today. Lord, we are grateful for this food. We're grateful for this lunch, for the people in this room, for the fact that your Holy Spirit has promised to be among us, Lord. You say where two or more are gathered, you are with them. And we are here, Lord, gathered in your name, and we are just inviting you into this space and into our hearts, that we would be hearing from you today, that it would be you who is glorified, and that as we consider a framework of thinking about disciple making, and in particular the area of prayer, Lord, that you would help us to revitalize our own hearts before you in prayer, and that we would be effective in multiplying that in the people in our orbit, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I just want to kind of give a quick overview on this flexible framework that we're introducing. So I just want to use a quick analogy from Asian cooking. I don't know about you guys, I like to cook. And when I was a kid, my mom taught me how to cook. She bought me my own cookbook with had its own plastic measuring spoons that were very brightly colored. And we had lessons on following step-by-step directions and the proper way to measure ingredients and the scoop and sweep method. It was all very specific. And so my mind was blown when I moved to Asia and learned that there's like no such thing as a cookbook. And there's definitely no such thing as a measuring spoon in Asia. It's not a thing. At least it wasn't at the time that I was there. And I worked in a Chinese restaurant in high school. It was confirmed. There's just no such thing. And instead, there's a framework to think about cooking that helps the home chef think through all the dishes that they're going to make. And it's a framework that's about balancing the four main flavor profiles of salty, sweet, sour, and spicy. So instead of getting, a specific recipe, you'll get, like, this dish contains these ingredients. And in order to amplify the salt, you need to have this method. In order to amplify the sweet, you need to put it in at this time in the recipe, things like that. And you learn that, like, if something's too salty, you need to balance that out with vinegar or sour flavors. If something's too spicy, you can add a little sugar to take off the edge. So you just learn this framework where it's not about the specific directions. It's more about learning the ideas behind the cooking. And Salman Nasrat has popularized that with salt, fat, acid, heat, you guys know. Same idea, that the world over, outside of Western Europe, cooking is done more through framework than recipe. And I think that's a really helpful analogy when we think about disciple making. I think that often in the West, we continue in that framework, especially like in the Western European culture of like, give me the recipe, tell me the ingredients, tell me the step-by-step directions to make a disciple of Jesus. But what we see in the Bible and what we see in many cultures is that that doesn't work. That what we need is more of a framework, a way of thinking that is going to help us balance the essential elements of disciple making so that we know what's missing, how to adjust, what meets the needs of the moment. And so these elements that we get straight from Jesus are prayer. Every disciple needs to know how to pray. How are we going to bring that into our discipleship time? The word, character growth and personal counseling, you know, just dealing with the stuff in our lives, and ministry coaching. As we in this room know, discipleship isn't so that we can become our best selves. It's so that we can help grow God's kingdom in an outwardly focused way that should multiply in some way outside of us. So coaching people on how is God calling you to take what he's given you and give that away to other people. These skills do not require a curriculum or a recipe, but they can be used with a curriculum or a recipe to enhance it. So, you know, I still use recipes in my cooking, but now that I have a broader perspective on how food works from my time living in Asia, I'm able to adapt that a lot better. And in the same way, if your situation calls for a curriculum or a really specific method of disciple making, these skills will translate and help make that more effective. But it is not dependent on having a curriculum or some kind of recipe card for your disciple making efforts. So that's the framework we're working with. And the first big rock in that framework is prayer. So now that this boring but important groundwork has been laid, I'm going to bring up Shauna. She is the director of prayer for Pray for Columbus. And let me just introduce her for a second. Shauna is like, man, she's a breath of fresh air in a room. She's from a family with a long legacy of commitment to prayer and answers to prayer. Her grandfather and her great-grandfather were both pastors. And she just had, you know, a lot of rich experiences with God's presence and prayer as a child. She has a posture of prayer and the presence of someone who's deeply in touch with her status and favor as the daughter of the king. So after volunteering with Fort Columbus for a number of years under Ursula's leadership, she's taken on the role of leading Pray for Columbus, which is such a key effort. And in her job, it actually pays the bills. I don't know if you guys know this. At Fort Columbus, we're not out here getting rich. Shauna has a job that pays bills, and it's working as the new home sales consultant for MI Homes. And she's done that for a number of years. Before that, she's in banking. And she's also, because she does so many things, she's got this nonprofit called Wired for Wealth, and she's an author of the book Unlock the Wealth Within, Biblical Keys to Purpose and Finance. So I love Shauna. She's got a lot going on, so much wisdom here. So come on up, girl.
All right, thank you for that introduction. Hi, my friends. I love prayer so much, and I'm excited to be here. And thank you for your heart for disciple making and discipleship. It's a huge component to the kingdom to grow it in a healthy way. So I'm going to dive right in. Rachel asked me to talk about prayer. She gave me this verse, and we're just going to start here. So Luke 11:1, I'm going to actually read it. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Notice what the disciples said after observing Jesus pray. They watched him pray. And said, Lord, teach me to pray. They could have asked for anything. At this point, they had seen them perform miracles. They had seen them cast out devils. They had seen them change entire economies. But they knew that Jesus' foundation was based on prayer, and the power that he received came through prayer. So in discipleship, the key, one of the core pillars of discipleship is example. To be an example and not just through instruction. People grow by watching what we live and not just by what we say. So what is prayer? If we're teaching prayer, we need to know what it is. It's simply a conversation with God. In my mind, it's like the conduit from heaven to earth, right? It is communication with God, not just God, it's the King of Kings, it's the Lord, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the great problem solver, the great I am, and we get a chance to approach him. In prayer, we exchange weakness for strength, questions for wisdom, chaos for peace. Prayer is not duty. We don't pray out of religion. We pray because we have a sweet privilege. It's such a privilege and an honor to pray. We receive heaven's influence and strategy in prayer. That's strategy and influence for earthly matters. It's a place where we come boldly before the throne of grace and a time to listen and to be refreshed and to be renewed. Prayer is less about informing God about what we need, but more about communication and communion with him. I love Matthew 6 when he talks about the Father knows what you need before you even ask. But then he goes on and say, pray in this manner. But when you pray, pray in this manner. Then he lays out the model of prayer. Our Father, you guys know the model, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. So he says, the Father knows what you need before you ask, but ask, right? Which he's bringing us into communion with him. He wants fellowship. So the disciples, why did the disciples ask, teach us to pray? Well, they saw Jesus' strength flow through the connection to his connection to the Father, a life of continual abiding. I love in the scripture in John when it talks about staying connected to the vine, when it talks about producing fruit that remains, when it talks about the fruit that remains will prove that you are a disciple, that us ourselves are disciples, right? And then it goes on and says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He calls us into communion with him. They saw that Jesus' power flowed from his prayer life, the connection to the vine. They noticed that he withdrew often to pray. The Bible says that he withdrew often to go pray. He didn't say, I'm going to go pray. They just noticed it. They observed it. They wanted that same intimacy and the connection and authority. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, some translations say abide, you can ask what you will and it will be done unto you. So two of the most powerful ways to stay connected to the vine is prayer and the word. All right, are y'all getting this? We good? Okay. Why we pray? We pray to connect in fellowship with God, to receive guidance and wisdom, strategy from heaven for earthly matters. We pray for authority in the spirit because it activates kingdom power. We pray to demonstrate our faith and to show complete dependence on God. One of our advisors, Paul Hoy, he says it best. He says, prayer is like oxygen in the kingdom. It sustains our lives. It sustains our spiritual lives. It also aligns our heart to the will of the Father's. It changes us, not God. He doesn't change, but it does change us when we come into communion with him. Prayer connects our heart to his will. It aligns your life to his purposes, and it activates his power in our circumstances. All right, prayer. There are many ways to pray, many areas of prayer, different methods that you can incorporate into discipleship. A few include praise, and that's just asking him, magnifying his greatness, not really asking him for anything because he inhabits the praises of his people. So what that looks like is just like, Lord, I love you. You're great. You're awesome. You're magnificent. You're holy. I don't want anything. I just want to tell you how good you are because he is a good father and he loves praise. There's forgiveness and confession, petition, intercession, where we go to God on behalf of others. We go to God on behalf of our disciples. There's thanksgiving, which I think could be incorporated into every prayer, no matter what the situation is. And that's just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are working on my behalf. Thank you that you love them more than I do. Thank you that you still speak. Thank you that victory belongs to you. You pray through scripture. Take the scripture and declare the promise. Spiritual warfare prayer or listening in prayer, which is one of my favorite things to do. I think we pray and we talk a lot. We kind of use prayer as like, I need this, like my Christmas list. Like I need this, 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 and this. And then if you can do this, I'll take that too. And then we're like, all right, peace, I'm out. And he wants to respond. He is the God of the universe who knows all, who he knows like the middle. He's the beginning and the end. And lots of time we're in the middle and God wants to give us answers. And this is what we need to teach our disciples. And once we get it, it's easier to teach that. So methods of prayer. Praying out loud. You can have prayer cards, prayer journals, written prayers, prayer walking. You can pray in your car. You can fast and pray. You can pray. It's literally a conversation with God. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be drawn out. Just have a, he just wants to commune with us. And the more you commune with him, the more you'll want to, because he's going to give you insight that you didn't know. And once you implement it, you're going to get results. And then you'll want to continue to seek his wisdom. What's helped you develop or maintain a healthy prayer life? That's a question to think about. I think for me, it would be just changing my perspective of who God really is, knowing that he's not like a man and he's a God that answers. You know, 1 John talks about this is the confidence that we have in him. If we pray anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know he'll answer. So changing my perspective has helped me kind of put more focus on prayer. If you are looking for a practical guide to help deepen your prayer life or help your disciples deepen their prayer life, Lead with Prayer is a book that I actually highly recommend. It is amazing. It's going to show you some practical tools on how to implement prayer. You can implement it with your staff. There are prayers in there. It's just a great playbook for intentional and powerful prayers. Why do we struggle with prayer? Some, even leaders, right? Like prayer is not a priority in some of our lives. And I think it happens because we feel unworthy or unheard. Do you even hear me? We're too busy. We're distracted. And we don't have belief in God's greatness. We don't believe that God is the king of the universe, and with him all things are possible. That's what the Bible says. So there's nothing too hard for him. And I don't think that we believe that in ways that we should. We don't pray because we don't see immediate results. Prayer sometimes is quiet. It is slow, but it's powerful. Sometimes that slow process is preparation for the answer that he wants to give you. Because if he gave you the answer before the process was complete or before you were prepared, then it might not be the answer that we needed to receive. There's a misunderstanding sometimes of prayer's purpose. It's to connect with God, not just to shoot off our prayer list and our wants and needs. There's a lack of confidence sometimes in hearing from God, and then there's spiritual warfare and doubt. And that's because the devil does not. There's a devil in this world who does not want you to pray. He does not want you to come into connection with the Father because he knows what happens. We serve this God and we pray to God who has no rival, who has no equal. His authority is not equal to the devil's, and he knows that, so he tries to keep us from prayer. So prayer should be our first response, but it's often our last resort. So I think we should teach our disciples how to make prayer their first response. All right, I'm gonna close this out soon. In summary, incorporate prayer into discipleship. Do it by modeling it, not by just telling people to pray. Pray together. Model prayer in your daily life. What you do in private will shine in public. Encourage disciples to pray together and alone. Remind your disciples who they're praying to. The ultimate problem solver. The king of the universe. The beginning, the end, the first, the last. The Alpha, the Omega, the great I am. The God who was and who is to come. He's all-knowing, he's all-wise. Remind them of that. Teach them to listen to God and journal insights. Include prayer in every step of mentoring. And intercede for them privately. Ask God, like, how do I disciple them? Because he'll show you and he'll tell you. In closing, I'll say this. Prayer is a lifestyle. Stay connected and let God's power flow. And if I can, I'll just close with a prayer. Is that okay? All right. Am I good on time? Okay. Yeah. Rachel's serious about her time, y'all. So I got to get through this. All right. So, Lord, we thank you. Oh, thank you for the sweet, sweet privilege of prayer. We thank you for an opportunity to boldly come before your throne. Just say, teach us to pray like you pray. Like the disciples, like you taught the disciples to pray, Jesus. Help us to commit ourselves to a life of prayer that honors you and produces fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Did that make sense? If that makes sense, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Make sure we're all in the right room. All right. So we're going to open this time up for questions and answers, Q&A. Are there any questions? None? Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your prayer life?
My prayer life. Yeah, I can do that. So I have learned to incorporate prayer in the front and the top of the day. So I'm in a lot of different places, doing a lot of different things, but I found that incorporating it at the beginning of the day gives me more time for the end of the day, because now I'm praying, like, how do I work through this room? Give me your wisdom. Give me your strength. Give me your strategy. And now instead of trying to figure out one myself, it just comes from his wisdom, and I got free time. Is that good? Does that answer your question?
How long?
I don't know. I mean, I'm up early. I'm a 4 a.m.er. And sometimes I can pray for a long time but it's become practice. You know, it's happened that way over time. And he speaks so much and so much good stuff that when I carry it out, I see results. So I'm like, I want to pray all day, honestly, but I can't. I got to go to my homes and make some money and go to Nick's for Columbus meeting. So if I could pray all day, I probably would, but I got to do the work too. I'm a boots on the ground girl as well. So, I mean, I just have learned to pray throughout the day, all day. I might be in my car like, all right, my next meeting, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Like, it's not like a formula, kind of like to Rachel's point. It's really just, I need you. I can't do this without you. I won't do it without you. So, is that good? Okay. Was there another? Yes. Prayer cards. So they actually sell some cool prayer cards at the dollar store I saw them the other day. And they're literally just cards that have prayers on them. And you can pray. Some of them are scripture. Some of them are, you can make your own, but if you wanted to buy them, they're just like prayers, some scripture prayers on cards. Yes.
Would you say, I noticed that all the
It's my favorite thing to do. I think that listening prayer is way better than, and I think it's different seasons in life too, but I think that listening prayer goes a long way, because that's when he's getting, you know, the strategy and the wisdom from heaven to earth so that you can walk it out on the earth. Absolutely. I think so. I don't know that. I mean, you can teach them that practice early on, but you might only listen for 30 seconds, right? Like, you can't listen for 2 hours if it's a new disciple. They're not ready for that. So I think discernment is key. Yes, sir. Passion for prayer and seeing lots of prayers answered don't come easy. They come with challenges. They come in places that need miracles to happen. And I've seen it my whole life, like over and over and over again. So it didn't come from this cool life that's just, you know, like, it came from challenge. It came from adversity. It came from a lot of that kind of stuff.
Would you say that challenges that's something that God allows in order to strengthen us?
I think it depends on how you look at it. When I, in my challenge, I'm like, I've had some challenges where I'm like, nobody can fix this but you. So I had to shift my reliance and my dependence on him in order, you know, and I seen it work over and over and over and over and over again. So it just, that's where my passion for prayer comes from. Now I want everybody to pray. I want everyone just to be in communion with him, because I know what happens, and I know that power of prayer.